It's July 13th, and this is our Sunday morning service, and we're glad to have you here. This is a great crowd today. We've got a great treat for you today.
I'm on. You hear me now? I'm on. Man, I'm anxious to hear what I'm going to say after that introduction. I'll tell you what, those on your front row's in bad shape. Yeah, he's right. It's I don't find in the Word of God where I read in Joshua in old age, in chapter 23, in old age, in chapter 24, he said, "For me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord." So I don't see where he was to quit. Now we can change our course. You get older, you can't do everything you used to do. Body-wise, your body don't keep up with you. Your mind keeps going, but your body don't keep up with you. And here lately, my body hadn't moved too good at all. My knees here. I've been walking, but I'm doing better right now, so I praise the Lord for that. So keep me from walking, I'm in bad shape. So as he said, at the age of 74, I started a new career, and that was helping out in a Bible school for a while to get started out in Long Island, New York. How many have been to Long Island? It's pretty out there. It's a ministry of the International Baptist Church out of Brooklyn. The man has two churches. He pastors two churches here, Brooklyn and Long Island. I mean, Stony Brook and Long Island. But we have 13 acres of ground out there, a beautiful campus. They bought 10 years ago, trusting the Lord's burden to start a Bible school and in the East to try to keep preachers in the East and build churches out in the Northeast, which is badly needed. And so that's the burden of the ministry. It's a soul-winning church, fundamental, independent, toe-stomping, preaching, which I like. And so I'm in hog heaven out there. Now, case I'm a farm boy originally. So if I use some farm expressions, why, that's part of my vocabulary, all right? So you just have to overlook that. And it is good to be here this morning. The fact at my age, I'm glad to be anywhere, but anyway. Before I get started, I have one joke, one preacher joke here, and I'll try not to live up to it. This preacher here had a habit of preaching a long time, and he'd come to the point, he'd say, "In conclusion," but after "in conclusion," he'd say, "Keep on going," and then he'd say, "In conclusion, keep on going," over and over and over again. So finally, he fell on the back row, got up and walked out, and later on, he came back in. And the guy was just finally wrapping it up. He said, "Why'd you leave me?" He said, "I went out and got a haircut." "Haircut? Yeah, how can you get a haircut now?" He said, "Well, I didn't need it when I came in." So, I'll try not to be that long, all right? And if you're going to be a Bible church, preaching church, Baptist church here, you got to have your Bible. So I trust you have your Bibles with you this morning. And before we went to New York here, I got new eyes. I don't have to wear glasses anymore to see with. I had these laser transplants put in here. But I do have to have them for fine print. So I'm going to be a college professor. I'll take my glasses on and off, all right? But if that's all right. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9 for our text. We're going to be kind of running around the country a little bit this morning. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Get this thing just right here. Luke 9:57. "And it came to pass that as they went in a way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, and go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus today. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Thank you for the opportunity, Father, to be in your house this morning with this group of people that's gathered together for one purpose, and that's to worship you and to learn the Word of God and to be a witness and testimony for you in their lives. Bless each one, God. Meet the need, Lord. Meet my need this morning as I stand before your people to feed the sheep, Lord. Anoint these lips of clay in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is a new church. You're beginning a new church here. I'm going to call my message this morning, A New Beginning. A New Beginning. I believe the foundation for it is found in this, some thoughts in this verse here. Then we're going to look at some other things to share with you. But if you look here in precisely verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now he's talking about, he said, follow me. Follow me. They said, well, I got to go bury my dead first, then I'll follow you. I got to go say goodbye before I can follow you. No, if we're going to follow the Lord, there's an urgency of what he's talking about. Urgency. I don't mean you neglect your family. I don't mean, Lord, not saying don't take care of your family and you can't say goodbye to somebody. But the emphasis is, who's first in your life? Who you following? But then the foundation here, he said, you can't always, the illustration here of the plow. Now, again, as I said, if you did not, if you hadn't had experience at, you know, farm, you don't fully understand this verse to me. But anyway, looking back, if you're going to go plow a field, you can't look back. Now, what do you mean? You can't be, well, when you go to lay out a furrow in a field to plow, you would step yourself off from one corner of the fence on this end, then you go down, mark it off the other end, and then you'd put your flag down at the other end, maybe a quarter mile away or half a mile away, and hope you see it. And then when you started plowing, you would never take your eye off that flag. You wouldn't move. Why? If you took your eye off, then you look back and you got a furrow this way, or you may be going halfway across the field. If you're going to have a straight row down through there to plow, to lay it off to start plowing, you had to stay consistent. You couldn't be looking back. And what Jesus is saying to me here, you can't be spending your time looking back in the past. You can't be looking back. If you're going to have a new beginning, you're going to be looking at the now and looking straight ahead. Many of you got different passes here, and you've had different experiences over the past number of years. Pastor Alexander's had different experiences over the years here and all the history. But you can't dwell on yesterday. It's on the now. You're living in today. Today, you're living today. Yesterday is gone. And you can't be living today. If you got anything in your heart, let me say this. I'm a stickler on this. When you have different experiences and you've had some maybe bitter experiences, some people's hurt you, said things about you that's not true and so forth. But if you've got any bitterness in your heart this morning, if you can't go up to a person that even wronged you and say, I love you, you've got better get a confession going and get that right, or you can't have a new beginning. You can't be looking back always what yesterday was. I've had to go through that. I've gone through that in recent months here. You spend 33 years of your life endeavor to reach people and build a church with a testimony and build the buildings. And I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. I'd be over that building, working on that property and building buildings at night, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. My wife wake up and didn't know whether I was dead or fell off the ladder on the floor where I might be at the wee hours in the morning. But I didn't do it for a man. I did it for the Lord. And to see someone come in and tear it all apart and all that kind of stuff, that's been a little battle. But when I come to this conclusion, I was reading chapter, I think it's 21, first chapter 21 or 20 of the book of John, somewhere in there, and concerning the laborers, where one was complaining because he worked all day and only got one penny worth here. Somebody came in later and only got one penny. And God used that to speak to my heart. I said, preacher, you get your reward for what you've done at New Hope. And what takes place in the future is no longer your accountability. Your accountability now is what you're doing now. And so when that struck me, I had a burden lifted, and I said, praise God, a building is a building, the people, the church, and if he sell it to the Mormons, they sell it to the Mormons. And I didn't got my rewards for it. And that's why you got to look at your past, all right? So many of you come from Kansas City Baptist Temple or other places, but you've known each other for a long time, and you kind of tried to hang together in difficult times, and it is difficult times. But a new beginning, you got to be looking ahead, all right? I think a new beginning starts clean. Starts clean, just a way of introduction here. Go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. They started out clean. They started out with no sin. They were complete. They had a perfect beginning, perfect environment. I mean, they had it made. They had food to eat, everything provided for them here. Had health, had fellowship with the Lord. Had complete freedom to do everything they wanted to do, except for one thing. Don't eat at that one tree. Don't eat at the one tree. And so everything was going good until Satan came along and said, who says you can't do that? God said, well, who's he? And they listened to Satan, and you know the result. Sin came to the world. They lost their status. They hid from God. And God said, where are you, Adam? And they tried to hide themselves. Well, we're naked before God. Well, they've been that way all the time. But they blew it. And when they blew it for us. Sin came in the world, and we're all sinners today because Adam and Eve cursed one breath away from hell. But praise God, God didn't stop there, did he? He sent his son to replace the sin of Adam, that we might have life everlasting. But I'm saying, so let's start. Don't let Satan get in to your new beginning. Don't let him get in to your new beginning. And he'll try to do it. He'll try to do it. So you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, right? Follow me, Jesus said. Follow me. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on each other. You love each other, you fellowship each other. But you can disappoint a person. And a person can disappoint you. And even Pastor Alexander can disappoint you. And you can disappoint him. It's a two-way street. A lot of times the pastor gets blamed for all disappointment. No, it's a two-way street. You disappoint pastor sometimes. I've had a lot of people disappoint me. But you don't quit going on. You don't quit following Jesus. Understand what I'm trying to point out? That's my emphasis, I guess, this morning, this new beginning. Keep your eye on the now and what God's going to do. Man, this opening this door for that church down here, that building, man, that's... We didn't have that at Lighthouse Baptist Church when we started here last summer. I didn't start it. The people started, and I went along. And they called me interim pastor for several months here until we got a pastor. Praise God, we got a pastor coming this month here, and from Virginia, and he's. I guess you. You don't have camps, so to speak, but we do have camps. You have preachers that you relate to more than some preachers, and I know Pastor Alexander. He's gonna relate to him because he's just a down to earth Virginia fellow, and saved with the grace of God. Great big guy, great fellow. I mean, he's a monster of a fellow. But and I think he'll do a good job, and I'm rejoicing in it here, what God's gonna do. So that's kind of background. So I'm going to challenge this morning to Old Path Baptist Church that has a new beginning. And I want to share some ways with you that may help you here. Keep your eye on following Jesus and don't get sidetracked. Number one, first of all, be a Bible-believing church. Well, you say, preacher, we are a Bible-believing church. Well, let me turn over to 2 Timothy. You know it. You don't have to. Even see it, most of you quote it, but we'll just read it for good measure, all right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That means all Scripture is God-breathed. Well, I believe that. Well, you listen to me. Second Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy. I believe that. Well, believing it is revealed in how we practice it. How we practice it. So I'm going to be a Bible-believing church. Now here it says, for doctrine. That's the principles of the Word of God. That's the teaching of the Word of God. It's problem for that. And Brother Alexander said, I'll teach you, I'll help you the Bible, and where you can know it, that's the backbone. That's the backbone. The Word of God. I was reading in Psalms this morning, 73rd Psalm, and I got a blessing. I came along there. The psalmist said I was envious of people that had money and all their prosperity, and I was suffering here and going through all my problems, and I was envious until I went into the house, into the sanctuary of God. That's why the child of God's got to go to church. Hey, I stay home. I was talking to a fellow yesterday, and I rolled his eye because I've known him for a long time. I rolled his eye anyway, but I knew his dad. Going way back in the dark ages. When you're as old as I am, you go back into the dark ages. But next month, I'll be 53 years old in the Lord. And so 53 years, you meet a lot of people. My home church was Centropolis Baptist Church on Truman Road over here. Hellfire, brimstone preacher. I mean, I spent more time on the front, on the mourner's bench than I did in the pew when I first got saved. He knew what I did on Saturday night. He did what I knew on Monday morning. I mean, he knew, he had ever sin the book on me, and I praise God for it. Praise God for it. And it, as Brother Alexander said, he was my pastor. I've had a few other pastors in between, but he's always been my pastor. And wasn't saved under his ministry. Went into his church, baptized in Centropolis. I was saved at a citywide meeting in Kansas City, downtown, in this auditorium, 1950, when I had a citywide revival meeting here. With Southern Baptists back in those days, and Youth for Christ with a guy named Merv Rozelle from California preached. And I got saved the last extended meeting. They had a standing meeting for a week, and I got saved out of the Catholic Church on the last meeting here, August 11, 1950, and haven't been the same since. I mean, God did something to me that night. I didn't understand it. Didn't know what took place. I just knew something took place. Hit me later. I realized what God had done for me. In fact, when it hit me, I was driving down Truman Road, working at Sears and Roebuck at that time. And, man, I had me a shouting fit. I was Baptist Costco that day. And I believe you can get excited about your salvation. And I've had people say, well, preacher, you're young now. You'll calm down. I had one lady in my church out in Indiana. Said, preacher, you'll calm down someday when you get older. I said, you pray, honey, that I never get calmed down. Because we don't need to get calmed down. We need to get calmed up or something, whatever you want to say, it, fired up for the Lord. And anyway, that's, I don't know how y'all know that. Now, I may wonder something. You know, your mind goes first when you get older. And I forget what goes after that. So you'll forgive me for that, will you? See, Ben, I'm justified for doing that at old age, all right? Now, Brother Pastor Alexander, young, he's not justified for that. But I can justify myself old age here on that part, in that light. But it is good to see all these young people here. This is young. I like being around young people. They keep me younger that way. But this young adult class here, I mean, you got energy. You knock on doors. And you get out there and talk to people. You got energy and youth ahead of you. And that's great. And that's great. But it says, for reproof. So the Word of God reproved. By the way, your preacher, he may rebuke you sometimes. Well, he's our friend. He's your friend, but he's not your friend if he don't rebuke you. So don't get mad at him, all right? I'm just talking to you this morning. I'm just... say, if you don't like what I have to say, you can't fire me. So I'd have a good... This is what I'm enjoying about this time of life here. I can say what I've been wanting to say for years. And they can't. I mean, they want me back. They won't never want me back. But at least they can't fire me. They cannot pay me. See, so that's a good advantage to my position in life. But for correction, the Word of God corrects us. See, we'd be wrong. And then after correction, it gives us instruction how to do it right in righteousness. That's the Word of God. That the man of God, that's you and me, may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God will make you and complete you for good works. See, we ought to be doing good works. Good works, which glorifies the Lord. Winning souls is good works. Being in church is good works. Being a walk you're talking to your neighbors is good works. And on the list could go on. So be a Bible-believing church. Secondly here, be a Bible-preaching church. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at it. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now the time will come. That time has come, folks. We're living in that day. That time has come. Been down through Paul's time here, but it's our time as well. Now I believe the Bible, but believe it, then we've got to preach it. Preach it. Now, preaching the Bible can involve stepping on your toes. You want a preacher not just tickle your ears. You want a preacher that'll stomp on your toes and make you mad to make you glad. And that's Bible preaching. Instant, in season, out of season, not just once in a while, but all the time. And I'm talking about if you're going to be an independent, fundamental, Hellfire, Brimstone, King James Baptist Church, you got to be a fully Bible preaching church. Reason I say that, look what happened. Why are we having all the problems we're having in our world today? It's because we've gotten away from Bible preaching. I got this from the CLA, Christian Law Association. It's going to be a monthly deal here. Just some highlights here of the what's happening in our country here. I'm going to try to share a few of them with you here. For instance, sexual assault. 67% of victims sexually assaulted are under the age 18. 34% of sexual assault victims are under the age of 12. Why do we have so much of it? We got perverted people, sinful people, but we don't preach morals anymore. You can't preach them in school. In the public schools, and so you can't uphold anything. You can't even the simple Ten Commandments. 60% of Americans believe that divorce is morally acceptable. 1 out of 4 Americans believe that abortion should be allowed under any circumstances. 50% of believers having a baby out of wedlock is morally acceptable here. In the last 20 years, the number of children raised in single homes have gone up 230%. The home deteriorating. 34% believe that gambling is wrong. Only 34%. The rest of people believe it's all right. 6 out of 10 say that sex outside of marriage is okay. That's the morality of our country. Why? We don't have any preaching against sin. We don't have any preaching against it. That's wrong to lie. The home is sacred. Abortion is sin. Homosexuality is sin. I don't mean you don't love the people, but sin. God calls it that. God calls it that. Well, we gotta love people. I don't say you don't love people, but you don't endorse sin. When our kids were growing up, they knew we loved them. But I said, we're not going to endorse your sin. You do wrong, you're going to pay the price. You're going to pay the price for it. And I said, we'll stand by you. We'll stick with you. We won't forsake you. But we're not going to endorse it. And that's true all through their lives. in that light here. Last year, one-third of all lesbians' households had children living with them. One-third of all births, including 40% of the births given last year, were to unmarried women. And on the list goes. You could read on the list. Kind of interesting list here, but just showing you some of the conditions. And I believe this is possible. It's taking place because of not having Bible preaching in churches. If you're going to be this is an independent Baptist, fundamental Baptist church, then don't get mad. Now, Brother Alexander preaches the Word of God, all right? Be a Bible preaching church. Number three. Be a Bible obeying church. A Bible obeying church. That means I'm talking about obeying church. Obey church in God intended church attendance. Hebrews 10:25. Obeying soul winning. Matthew 28:19-20. Obeying tithing. Obeying giving. I believe the tithe is just the beginning point of your giving. And you don't really give until you get way beyond that. So I've had people say, "Well, preacher, I don't believe in tithing." I said, "Well, the Pharisees did. And Jesus said, you exceed the Pharisees, so just do more of the Pharisees and you're all right." So that you don't believe in that, then you go and give more. Just outdo them and you'll be in good shape. Be in good shape. The Bible, obeying the scriptures and loving one another. John speaks about that. First John speaks about loving one another. Obeying his commands. John speaks about obeying his commands. First John, obeying his commandments. And then having a forgiving spirit. Ephesians 4:32, forgiving one another. Christ has forgiven you. If you don't have a forgiving spirit, how are you obeying the Bible? You see, one thing I said, believing it and then preaching it, but you still got to obey it. That's where the rubber meets the road. God says something, are you going to obey it and say, "Well, God really don't mean that." I get so disgusted with that phraseology in our day here. "Well, the Bible really don't mean that, preacher." I said, "Well, if God don't mean it, what does he mean?" "Well, I believe he means something else." No, you don't make it fit your philosophy. God's word means what it says. Now, if you don't want to believe it, you don't want to practice it, say, "I'm just not going to pay no attention to it. I'm not going to obey it." But don't say God doesn't mean what he says. I won't charge you for that one. Then have a compassion on someone. Compassion. You know, you and I can be, you can get, it's easier to like certain people over other people. That's our human nature. Some people are just more likable. Am I right? You ever check that out? I mean, it's just true. But, and then someone, "Well, that person, a little dirty, a little cruddy down there. I don't want to get too close to that person." No, hey, you reach out to that person. You have compassion for people. You have compassion. And then we go on that. And then, okay, obey and train your children. And train your children. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. Parents have responsibility of training the child. The babysitter is not the responsibility of the babysitter. And I don't know how many of you may put your children in daycares because you got to work and all this struggle, but that's not the ones to raise your child. Moms and dads are given that responsibility, not somebody else. And I know the economy of our country today is very difficult. People have to work to survive, but sometimes I wonder if the work is not surviving to take care of what we want, and we might be able to get by on less if we did some reevaluating. I mean, when my kids were growing up, I was in school. I started college when I was 24 years old. Finished graduate work when I was 34 years old. We were married and had three children. I worked 40, 60 hours a week going to school, and all through the years, my kids grew up without a daddy. but my wife was home with the kids. When they got older in high school and gone, then she went to work, and that was a mistake. But to help out financially. But I just, you just do without things. We were coming down the road here this morning. A car had an old whole side was tore off of the thing here. My wife said, "Man, that thing's kind of a rattle trap, isn't it?" I said, "Honey, think back. Think back. We had a 51 Plymouth that the Lord used to help pay my tuition several times. Because I'd get hit by it. Somebody hit me, and I'd take the money and then fix the car up and pay my bill. And so the thing just kept getting hit. And I had the door, my door on my side, it was sprung so bad I couldn't even get it close. I had to put me a screen door hook on it to hook the thing so I could drive down the road. They said, "When you trade it off?" We didn't have any money to trade it off. The 51 Plymouth. Best car I had, drove about 9 years. Gave $800 for it, sold for $50 for junk. And in fact, it probably is still running, but I hit a rock down in Georgia and bent up into the crankcase there, and the rod was hitting the deal, so I had to finally junk it. But I'm saying, we've been there. I mean, the Lord's been good to us over the years. I mean, we never dreamed that the Lord's been good. The Lord's blessed us. We've been in 22 foreign countries preaching. And been to Israel twice. It's on nothing here, the goodness of the Lord. But I didn't know it back then. But I'm saying is, we need to train up our children, teach them, and where they grew up. All of our kids are grown. All my grandkids are grown. In fact, my baby will be 50 years old this year. And so, but they're all steadfast, faithful people, and I believe because I'm trying to train them right. I never did uplift my family, my kids here. My kids had all the problems their kids had here. They went through the same frustrations that people's kids go through here. Always told people, I just remember this, a preacher's kids are no different than your kids, and they all face the same problems here. Sometimes people put preacher's kids up on a pedestal and say, "Well, now they're different." No, they've got the same problem your kids have got. There ain't any difference. And you got to have understanding for that in their life. But anyway, obey the Bible preaching. Obey separation from the world. Study the scriptures. Separation from the world. And remember who you belong to. Remember who you belong to. You belong to the Lord. Your body belongs to the Lord. Do you know that? He bought it with a price. Says to glorify God in your what? In your mind? No, in your body. In your body. So your body belongs to the Lord. He says, "Well, I can mind my own self. I can do as I please. Nobody tell me what to do." No, God tells you what to do. And God tells you places you're not to go. I don't believe a Christian needs to be in the gambling hole. I don't know whether you gamble or not. You're down here on the boats. I'm still talking about you. I don't believe you'd be there. So, preacher, I'm a tightwad. And the people said, "Man, you ought to go down there to a gambling place. Man, you can get you a meal cheap." That's enticing now. I like cheap meals. But I said, "No, I'm not going to go to one of them. Because I came down there, went down there to eat, and I came out of there, and somebody see me coming out that knows me. They don't know I haven't been gambling." I said, "Nope, I don't have to gamble. I'm not going to be around the place." But I believe that's carried out. Well, anyway, so much I could say, but next point. Be led by a Bible preaching preacher. Now you got that. You got that. Be led by a Bible preaching preacher. There's all kind of preachers. In fact, I want to share with you. I read this article. Picked this up somewhere. I wrote it down. I thought it was pretty good. Five types of preachers. There's five types of preachers. You got a preacher who just teaches the Bible. And you gotta be a teacher. That's true. You gotta be a teacher of the Word of God. But they just emphasize teaching. They spend all their time in study, and you never see them. Only walk out on Sunday morning, and then walk back in their office. They don't even stand around, and shake hands, or nothing like that. And they delegate everything out to others, which you need to do that too. But as far as hospitals, I never make a hospital visit. They never go knock on a door. They said, well, I'm just a studying preacher. Well, that's not my style. That's one type of preacher. Second one is evangelistic type. Oh, they preach salvation messages. Your sick people starve to death on salvation messages. That's for lost people. My Bible says feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. So I always bring in salvation when I preach down through the years. But the emphasis was feeding the sheep because I got more sheep than I got lost people. And so you preach salvation, people are going to dry up. So that's that kind of preacher. But that preacher never gets into too much troubles because he never hits any sin. He don't hit home base anywhere. He never steps on anybody's toes. So he's a little easier life. Then you got a third type, the celebrity type. Celebrity type. Man, everything Hollywood style. Hollywood style. And that celebrity type. And they got to have, they only operate on, they have a following that just hangs around them all the time and worship the preacher and so forth. Now, you're not to worship the pastor. You worship the Lord. Now, you honor the pastor, and you follow the pastor, because he's the under-shepherd. He's the overseer. And he can't be the overseer if he's not the leader. I always said this, there's only one final boss in the church. I mean, Lord number one, but as far as the earthly one, is the preacher. And that don't mean you don't work with people and consider people and all this other stuff. I'm not about that. I'm not talking about a dictatorship. I'm not talking about that type of person, but there has to be a boss. There has to be somebody. Well, the buck stops here, as Truman said, and that's the pastor. But in that light. So, celebrity type. And I can name one here in our area here, in the metropolitan area here, that I call a celebrity type preacher. But then you have the contemporary type. Anything goes. Any kind of singing goes. I appreciate your singing this morning. I appreciate the message of Daniel here. Man, that blessed my liver. I used to say gizzard all the time. Somebody pointed out to me that people didn't have gizzards. So one of my teenagers pointed out one time, preacher, you don't have a gizzard. That's chickens have gizzards. You let the younger generation straighten you out, all right? They'll straighten you out. They'll keep you straight. But anyway, contemporary style, anything goes. Now I'm odd. I'm narrow-minded in many ways. I don't apologize for it. And the modern thing today, and I know why people do it. I understand why they do it. But you'll never see me clapping hands as far as somebody singing is concerned. Why? You clap for entertainers. When you sing for the glory of God, you're not entertaining. When I'm preaching, I'm not entertaining. And I know why people do it, and I know why when you get through, we get a blessing from singing, it's like saying amen. I know the substitute for it. But you know what? What blesses my heart is just to have some good old glory. Amen! Praise the Lord! And that'll bless my liver. And then the third type, the fifth type of preacher is the whole Bible preaching. The whole Bible preaching pastor who preaches as led by the Lord, lives his life, he walks his talk, and out before the people, he'll be at your side at the hospital, he'll be at your side when you need him, as your pastor will be. Now he can't do all that and work full time, folks. He's going to be a part-time pastor working until you get organized where you can support him financially. But that needs to be your number one goal. Now, he didn't tell me to say that. I'm saying it. Your number one goal is to sacrifice, dig, get people saved, get people in the church where you got support to support the man of God, but you don't have to be out here on a secular job. He cannot do everything. That's just bare facts. I've tried it. You can't do it all. You just can't do it. And so, but even doing that, he'll be doing his dead level best to be there when you need him. He'll be there. And that's the type of preacher, that's my type of preacher. That loves people, love all kind of people, not partiality to one person over another person. Loves the old, young alike. Love teenagers. I love teenagers. My wife and I have traveled with teenagers year after year. And the greatest thing we ever did was take our kids to the mission field. And I'm talking about home here in the States, But we went to New Mexico and built a church on the Navajo reservation for a missionary. My teenagers, with a few adults. But I mean, I had some strong teenagers. And it made them. And out of that ministry, there's five of them in the ministry today. God's called to preach. I believe by his post. It isn't a rough. We didn't have running water. We had outside facilities. And girls said, "Preacher, I wash my hair every day." I said, "Honey, out here you ain't going to wash your hair every day. I got to have a shower every day." And I said, "You ain't going to get a shower every day. You're going to sponge bath. And if we all get to stinking the same, you won't notice the difference." Had more fun doing that. Did that for complete our building. And in fact, when we resigned the church, I was 70 years old when we resigned. And we left them out. They came. We were out in New Mexico, and we headed out for 4 months. 4 months of traveling. Traveled 4 months after we resigned. And they came back. We went west, and they came east. Hardest departure time was being around. I just have soft tough teenagers here. And they even liked the old man. That was the amazing part about it. They even liked traveling with the old man here. So we had fun and enjoyed life. That's five types of preachers. And on the list could go on, and we got to shut it up here. But as I said, it didn't tell me how long I could preach, so that was his mistake. But anyway, number five, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at it just for a moment. Ephesians chapter 5. You're familiar with the passage? Verse 18. Chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, anybody knows or been around drinking controls the person, right? A man's drunk, he's controlled by the alcohol. You do things you don't do when you're sober. Many men become violent when they're drunk. They don't do it when they're sober. It's got control of you. But God makes a comparison of the Holy Spirit is to control us. Just as a drunk is controlled by alcohol, you and I are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're controlled down here, and so we need the filling of the Holy Spirit daily in our lives. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a test how you can get some filling of the Spirit. You've got to empty yourself, and that's another message. They didn't sell a lot of messages. But empty yourself. Confess your sin. You can't have sin in your life if you're going to get full of the Holy Spirit. Now you get the Holy Spirit when you get saved. You get the Holy Spirit when you get saved. But that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit controls you. That don't mean you're full of the Holy Spirit. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, God has control of you. God has control of me. And so you gotta be a clean vessel to be filled. You can't fill a dirty glass with full rocks with water. It's gotta be empty to fill it with water. You put water in it, but it's not full. Same way, empty, be full. And so we've got to empty ourselves, let God take over our lives to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And this is something we need to ask God to do every day. And for a Spirit-led church, and for a Spirit-controlled church, you'll not have trouble following the leadership of your pastor. Now some of you guys, he said, many of you can preach and fill and everything. And that's great. That's great. But just remember, Brother Alexander is still your pastor. Well, I can do a better job than he do. Well, if that's the case, then go start your own church. You want to serve as a servant, work together? That's great too. That's the way it's to be. But that's, you don't have any trouble. You don't have any trouble submitting to authority if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. If you've got trouble submitting to the leadership of the pastor, check your feeling. Check your feeling. And if you're going to have a new church with a new beginning, you're going to have to be Bible believing, Bible preaching, Bible could say Bible practicing, but obeying it, and then be led by a Bible preacher, being led by a Bible preacher, and being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And you'll have harmony and fellowship and a great time serving God. It's great to come to church and just have a great time in the Lord. But when you go out, you don't sit on your fanny all week. You go out to serve. You come in to receive. You go out to serve. New beginning, let that be your emphasis. Heads bowed, eyes closed, we look to the Lord in prayer. And I'll turn it over to Brother Alexander. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name this morning. We pray, Father, that the Word of God has found soil. The people hang on to the truths. Go forth to serve in this new beginning of the Old Path Baptist Church, Father. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, a lot of preachers today study their Bibles, put sermons together, and then they go preach. And that's fine, but one of the things I've learned over life is this is what he does. He studies his Bible, and he preaches. What he preaches draws on from what he has done and what God has done in his life. Now, that was a straight, plain, practical message based on a man who has given his life to serving God. You go to a Bible college someplace or go to a seminar on how to build a church, you get a lot of frilly things and charge you a lot of money and wouldn't get nothing. You got the basic right to the mode where you need to be. And I've got to tell you, I believe the King James Bible too, so that's a plus. But you figured that out by now, I'm sure. But that was good today. I appreciate that, and I really do. And I know that it's tough to give an invitation in a room like this. But just let me say this to you. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. As far as I know, most of you are saved. I know most of you. But you may have some struggle in life or whatever. Let me just tell you this. Come and see me if you need to afterwards. We'll be around for a little bit while you're shaking hands with the pastor. We can go to another room and we can talk or whatever. But I am glad you're here today. We love you. And when we're dismissed here, after we get out of here, we're going to eat at, where's that at?
40 Nolan.
At the old country buffet over in 40 Nolan. We figured that was fast. We want to invite you all to come over there. If you want to come by and eat with us, we're going to take his pastor's wife over there and come over. You're welcome to. If you got other plans, that's fine. But we always want to include you into whatever we're doing. And but thank you for being here today. And if you're a visitor, we love you, and you're welcome to come back as much as you can. Next week, we'll be in our new building.
Amen. That's great.
I expect everybody to bring somebody with you, and we need to fill that place up as quickly as we can so we can get the 300 mark.
Amen.
And get to the other place. I'm just kidding. God will bring it in his own time. But you know what? It's up to us to be out there in the highways and the byways. And
amen.
Everybody here has somebody that you know that God has put in your life that you can influence. Maybe they're not saved. Maybe they are saved and just... you know, just don't have a good church to go to or ain't going anywhere. And ask God to show you this week and try to bring somebody with you next Sunday. Don't forget, Thursday night Bible study will be right here. And we'll have it here this week, and then we'll move over to the church on Sunday. And, boy, we're looking for a time of that. Oh, Chris is so excited. I'll tell you what, I had never seen him talk in tongues, but he did. I was there. I heard him say on the phone. You got the Holy Ghost, so what did you do here?
Just remain Baptist College School.
He's gone, man. He's gone. He got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's ready to fly. But hey, I love you to death. Thank you for being here today. Let's close in prayer and stick around and visit for a few minutes and shake hands with the visitors. And we're glad to have you. Troy, thank you for being here today. I hope you come back before I went. We love you. Old Troy and I go back. He's in my high school class, you know. 40 years ago, I think it was. But anyway, well, we're glad you're here today. And all of you. Mindy's good to see you back. Minder, it's good to see you back again today. And we love you too. And let's ask God's blessing. Father, we thank you and praise you for all you do for us. We love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for the man that you brought.